shipwrecked with Calypso. What do you want to tell us about being shipwrecked with Calypso?
Calypso was a nymph who lived on the island of Ogygia. Again, I think I've got that pronounced correctly, but happy to be corrected. And she retained Odysseus for several years against his will, promising him immortality if he'd stay with her. But he ultimately preferred to go home in the end. And this was after, obviously it comes after the experience of Scylla and Charybdis, where he had no choice but to go through this passageway, and it inevitably wrecked his journey. So, he got saved on Calypso's island, but she didn't want to let him go in the end. And it was an intervention from the gods that allowed him to get away from the island in the end. What was my metaphorical steer on this one? So this is thinking about sort of escapism, evading your real world responsibilities, perhaps sort of idealized. It's supposed to have been a lovely island, and he was promised immortality, but he wanted to go back to his family on Ithaca. And the most obvious ones that I could draw from my captain's log from these different experiences, that there are a couple of experiences I had in the meta quest. The first one was it was a stationary experience. So going back to sort of 3 degrees of freedom, and it was, I think both of them were actually, and they were all 360 video experiences. So I had another one of those days where I had 8 online meetings in a row ahead of me in my calendar.
Oh, like, my
I'm gonna get through this. I have a lot of those. And I started the day on the floor in the room I work from, and I put on this observation module in the International Space Station. So before my first meeting of the day started, I spent 15 minutes above the Earth watching the sort of gradual rotation of the planet. And it sort of, it gave me this fabulous escapism from the sort of row of 8 meetings I had ahead of me. There was another one as well, which was also called the ISS experience. And this was, again, it was 360 footage that was taken by a couple of astronauts. They'd taken these 360 cameras onto the ISS, and they performed some tasks on the outside in the vacuum of space as the ISS was rotating around the Earth. And as an observer, it was a stunning thing to witness, because it's something that most of humanity will never get to see. But given the powerful sense of presence you get in VR, it was like being on the outside of the ISS, again, sort of watching the world go by, literally.
So can you identify escapism as a sort of separate bounded category? Is it always going to blur into other things, or can you just say, oh, this is purely escapism and there is nothing else to get from that? Or is there always going to be an element of escapism when you're studying in VR?
One of the things that struck me with this one is sort of going back to, we talked about, I think you alluded to this earlier, Rebecca. So Balanson has this framework that he considers for, when is it appropriate to use VR? And this is applicable for when it's appropriate to use VR in teaching and learning as well, in education contexts. So it's known as the DICE framework. So D stands for dangerous, so something is too dangerous. You don't want to take your students on a field trip to a nuclear power plant if you're teaching them nuclear physics, because it's too dangerous for them, or a volcano. Something that is impossible. You can't literally take them to Mars, but you can take them there virtually. Something that is counterproductive, so you don't want to get them cutting down trees in real life to know about the problems of deforestation, but you can get a sense of what it's like to do that by cutting down a virtual tree, or something that is far too expensive to do. So, all of these, a trip to the Antarctic or something like that. So I think, to your point, Mark, of, sort of what's the value of this sort of escapism? I think this sort of aligns with this sort of thing as well. So in that, going back to Balanson's DICE framework, if you can take your students on some of these things that are, there is no other way that they would be able to go or experience this thing in any other way, but which they can still get a sensation from. I started my day so much more buoyed by having sat and watched the world go by 10,000 feet above it. You know, I was literally just sat on my floor as well. It was a very powerful and emotional experience.
And therefore restorative, I guess. That's it. It's like escapism is an actual means to an end, because in a way, because it's always going to have value, because having escaped for a while, you're then that much more capable of dealing with everything else.
Yeah, and if you, you know, the classic thing that astronauts experienced, there's a particular term for it, but this sort of sense of removal that they get from observing the Earth from above it is they got different perspectives on the Earth itself. So when they became more involved in sort of preserving the beauty of the Earth once they got back onto it. So, you know, these different perspectives can give you different ways of thinking about what it is that you're actually talking about.
Yeah, but it's a sort of, it's the opposite of Odysseus, isn't it? Because Odysseus is offered all these wonderful things. You know, his Calypso is, I mean, she's a goddess, in part goddess, so she's incredibly beautiful and she's offering immortality. And despite the fact that he doesn't want to be on the island, he is actually sleeping with her. So he's having a pretty good life there, but for some reason he turns away from what seems like an ideal situation in order to go adventuring back home again. And that seems sort of the opposite of what we're talking about with virtual reality.